Welcome to Self-Discovery Radio, where the discovery of self is just a show away. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. You may have noticed that the station name from PLV Radio has changed to Self-Discovery Radio. Why have we changed the name? Because every single show that you listen to helps you discover a little something about yourself. And everybody that has been interviewed has had a journey of self, a wonderful discovery that they found out about themselves, and they're sharing it with you every week. You also may have noticed that my shows have changed from Positive Living Vibrations to Choose Positive Living. And this is what you're listening to now. The same wonderful content being brought to you every week, but we just decided to change things up, renew ourselves a little bit like a new wardrobe, and embrace a new era in the radio station, which is now 2 years old. And one of my new guests on the first shows of Self-Discovery Radio and Choose Positive Living is the wonderful Dina Eisenberg. And we're going to be talking today about that thing called outsourcing. Don't start running. It's very, very easy, and it is going to make your business easier. But before we get there, we're actually going to go on the journey of Dina and how she actually got to where she's got, why she looks at this as being very, very important, how easy and simple it is to do, and the most important thing is not being afraid to do it. If we are solopreneurs, we've started businesses for ourselves, we cannot do it on our own. I'm sorry, you can't. You need help, you need to delegate, and you need to reach out to those sources that are going to make your life easier. That is where you get your success, not by doing it all on your own. And I know that word, delegate, allowing other people to do something with your business can be rather scary. And we're going to take all that fear away today, and we're going to actually have some fun with this. But before we get to the outsourcing mentor, we're going to find out what is Dina's journey. How does she even come to this wonderful journey that she's on now, because it's actually kind of a totally different one, and you wouldn't think that this is what led her to what she is doing. So, Dina, welcome to the show. Welcome to our new station and the new name and the new era and the new vibration, and we're delighted to have you on.
Sarah, I am so thrilled to be here and really just honored to be one of the very first guests on your new station, which I know is going to rock the podcasting world, because I know you and the quality of content and the caring that you bring to your podcast.
Thank you.
I'm really excited to be here. I'm excited to talk about the topics, delegation and outsourcing, and really get people to, you know, hashtag end grunt work.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to go backwards. Let's just go how this all started, because you started a legal career prosecuting doctors for sexual misconduct and chemical dependency. It's like, how the hell did you get from there to where you are now? Because that seems rather a bizarre journey. But most certainly, please.
Well, you know, it is a little bit of an unusual journey. What I like to say about my legacy work is that it's like a patchwork quilt. Lots of different roles in it, but when you put them all together, you know, they make you feel comfortable, safe, and warm. So, yeah, I did actually start as an attorney, and my job was to prosecute doctors for sexual misconduct and chemical dependency. And I won't lie, it was a very stressful job. Often people were not happy to see me.
I wonder why.
Even though a perfectly lovely woman, they weren't happy to see me because I was doing my job. And my job was to empower predominantly women who had been sexually abused by their doctors to stand up for themselves, ask for what they needed. And often they were asking for money, but at a deeper soul level, these women were asking to be acknowledged for the pain and the loss that they'd gone through, so that they could forgive themselves and forgive the other person and move forward.
Yeah, I think that's a huge one, isn't it? Because anytime anybody goes through any sexual misconduct and on any level, there is always this blame game on the woman. She asked for it, she did something, it's all her fault, and that judgment immediately comes out, and it's something that stays with you. And, you know, the accountability of the person that has done the wrong, it's always, oh, but I have the invitation. No,
yeah.
you didn't. No, you yeah. didn't. You had an abusement, you know, abuse of power. And so it's very, very hard for women to kind of come back from that. And so, I mean, an incredible line of work by giving those women
yeah.
that empowerment. But you obviously left the business.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I loved working with those women, but it was very stressful because for months and months, I would live the same traumas that they were reliving in the cases. And I thought, you know what? There has to be a better way to do this. So I moved from the law to being a mediator. And that was a much better vehicle for problem solving. And for almost any problem solving, it's a better vehicle than any other choice. And usually the other choices are do nothing or do something legal.
Mm-hmm.
At least if you're doing mediation, what you create is an opportunity to increase understanding and to figure out something that works good for both parties. And so that's why I liked mediation. And I loved doing that. And that sort of led me to doing more business mediation. And eventually corporations came knocking at my door, like American Standard, saying, we love what you're talking about in terms of conflict in the workplace. We'd like to have our employees be much more conflict competent, so come in. And through that work, I did a lot of consulting across the United States with large companies like Coca-Cola and Monsanto around conflict management. And that led me to being the ombudsman for, in the U.S., Fleet Bank, which was the seventh largest bank in the nation. And what I took away from that experience that I bring to my clients now, it's really about understanding who you are in a particular environment in a world and how you can function best in it. And so when I think about the roles I have now as an outsourcing strategist and automation mentor, really I'm looking at solopreneurs and saying, well, how can you function best in the world that you are in now? How can I empower you to speak up for your business, get things done that you need to get done, and last but certainly not least, make more money.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's, especially I think in a lot of the way, you know, when we're looking at solopreneur, we're looking at people that are, you know, have embraced their redirect and you're looking mm-hmm. for that more authentic life. There is yep. still this huge big bubble above everybody's head is that, you know, for you to live in something you love to do and that is a contribution to mm-hmm. your environment, money is a contaminator. And we've got to get out of that thinking, haven't we? Because, you
oh,
know,
yeah.
go and make a shitload of money, folks. It's what you do with it that
yeah.
is really what counts. And that we've got to take away the stigma of that, you know, making money or putting a value, a dollar value on your worth, on your business worth, as being something that's in wrong.
It's, bad, yeah.
yeah.
I don't agree with that at all. I think that here's what I think about that. If you have a message or something that you need to bring to the world, you cannot do it without money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can try, lots of people do, but that's called a nonprofit, and usually you go out and you get granting funds to support your nonprofit. Well, when you own your own business, you're not a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you have the same goals of educating and serving that nonprofits do, you actually need to make money, and the more money you make, the larger reach you can have. So I tend to think of it when you're playing small and you're like, I don't want to make a lot of money, you know, then you're really saying to the universe and to yourself, I don't want to have that much reach. I'm not certain what I have to say is all that important.
Mm.
So we'll see who finds me, as opposed to the other way around, which is, you know, I think what I have is great. I want to reach as many people as I can. I know I'm going to change lives. And that's really how I think about my practice. I know the work that I do changes lives for the better. And so I'm just eager to get out there and change as many as possible.
And that's a very good approach to have. You know, I always say that, you know, there's the 55% of the way you present yourself is in how comfortable you are in your own skin. It's not the
yes.
Armani suit. It's not, you
yes.
know, the car you drive. It's who are you? That's the first thing that people see in you. You know, 38% is that tone of voice of whether anybody's
mm-hmm.
going to listen to you. And it's only 7% your content, because they're never going to even get to the content if they haven't bought the rest.
That's
so it's
right.
the same in your business, is that do you believe in you? Are you being authentic in what you're representing? In what you're representing, is this your truth? That will resonate more than anything else in your business. Even if your business isn't kind of quite where you want it to be, or it's still in the works,
right?
You know, people are forgiving of that, and they're also encouraging You know, what can I do to help? Because I believe in what you're doing. But you've got to believe in it first, right?
Yes, and you have to be transparent about that. Mm. It's so funny you mentioned about being authentic, because the A word is it's not on my good list. I'm tired of hearing people say that. Because it's one of those words, like, what does that actually mean when you say be authentic? Well, to me, it actually means just be yourself, and I don't need the A word to express that.
Yeah.
And when you're being yourself, what you are is being transparent.
Yeah.
You're not trying to be, quote, unquote, professional. And you know what that means, right? That's the corporate sense of I'm doing my job the right way and appropriately. And, you know, it's sort of a mask that we put on. But
an expectation.
It works better when you're really authentic. So, you know, my clients will tell you I laugh on the phone with them all the time. When I have a brain fart, you know what? I just admit it and we keep going, because that is who I am. The greatest compliment I got, and I do a lot of speaking engagements both on and off, and when I do a live event, when someone comes up to me and says, oh gosh, you are just the same as you are online, that tickles me to no end, because it means I'm really just being myself. And you know, you can't get into too much trouble when you're being yourself. When you're trying to pretend to be somebody else, there's already so many opportunities to get tripped up.
Oh, 100%, you know, kind of as a very spiritual person, and, you know, I see people's possibilities and I know what they're capable of, and, you know, been helping them find their own path in life. You know, there was always this expectancy of an apology for who I was or the way I looked at things, or, you know, or the gift that I had. And it's like, hey, you know, hey sister, I ain't apologizing to nobody no more. you know, and it's like it was permission for me. Just to embrace who I am. And, you know, like, I'm not here for everybody. I'm not everybody's cup of tea.
Nope.
I would just keep, you know, speaking what I see as you know, as my truth, and embracing my journey and, you know, bringing it out to the world. And, you know, like, people can tune in or not. But the apology for who you are, because people have this huge expectation of who you should be. That's something you have to get rid of straight away, isn't it? Stop living by expectation.
Yeah, you can just let go of that. Yeah. And you'll find that life is so much easier.
Oh, yes.
So just to finish out the journey of how I got here, I was coaching online and doing work with other professionals, because I'm professional around taking their legacy expertise and turning it into information products. And there's certainly a story around how I got there, and I want to tell you that. But from that, that led to a really natural progression. Lots of my clients are great people, so brilliant, talented. You know, I fall in love with my clients. I get a brain crush on them, and I get excited. So we would create these plans and strategies for them to create information products, online courses, ebooks, workshops, speeches. You know, we'd do the plan over a couple of weeks. I'd send them off, and 6 weeks later, I'd say, hey, how's that going? And then there'd be like this rumbling, or rumbling, I didn't do much, or rumbling, I just didn't get to it, or I didn't know what to do, or how to find the right resources. And I know that you are a person of action like I am. And so that drove me crazy. I was like, okay, so I'm going to now find you the people. And so I was curating providers, online freelancers for my clients. And I realized, bingo, you know how in the V8 thing, you go like, I could have had a V8 in your forehead. It was one of those moments where like, wow, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Yes, I can certainly help you put together your information product. But where I'm really going to be adding value and really getting the messages out into the world is by helping people find affordable help and teaching them to delegate and outsource, so they're not doing everything themselves. I mean, that is my true message. I want everyone to know that you should stop doing everything yourself. It seems noble, but it's actually self-sabotage.
I 100% agree with you, because let's face it, you're only seeing something from your own perspective.
Yeah.
You know, one dimension, and you really do need some other people to go, you know, you've got a hole in that. You really need to, you know, to plug that, or this is what you need to do here. And it's not a criticism that you're not doing it all. It's just an observation of the things you need to do it better. So you know, we need to take that ego or that sensitivity out of it and understand that more people that look at what we need, the more we're going to be able to address that and make it happen.
That's right. And the other benefit that I think people miss when they're thinking about delegating outsourcing, because most of us just procrastinate and don't do it, but one of the key benefits is that it clarifies your thinking. When you have to actually sit down and think about, why do I want this? What's the benefit for my business? You know, what is the actual task? Just sitting down to think about what's the actual task and the steps that go into it is so beneficial for you and your business. One, you can take that information and then turn it into a standard operating procedure so that you never have to do that again. You can always ship that document off to somebody else and have them do that task. Two, it, as you said, really identifies any holes in your thinking. Mm-hmm. When you have to explain to someone else how to do it, you figure out whether or not you know how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm all about the four key perspectives that we are, the four key personalities, and, yep, you know, and we are not all four. We are all four, but, you know, in different degrees. Yes. And, you know, we have to be able to know who to go to that can see things from a different point of view, you know, what we're missing, and also be willing to ask advice or ask people's help. Now, that's a huge, big thing with people, isn't it? Is the whole thing about asking for help, because they feel, oh, that means I'm an inadequate, or it means, you know, that they also don't have trust in who they ask. Those are the two huge factors.
Yeah, if you're hitting on my cylinders, I'm getting excited now. I'm about to do my happy dance. Because those are kind of the lies that we tell. So when I start working with clients and we start looking at their businesses in a comprehensive way and thinking about, you know, what can we outsource, people tell me a couple of things. And here are the three big lies. They tell me, oh, you know, I can't outsource because it takes too long to explain. Or they say, oh, I have to do it myself, otherwise it just won't be done right. Or, of course I have to do it myself because I don't, you know, who am I going to get to pay for that? Or where am I going to get that money? Or it's such a small task, I'd be, you know, almost embarrassed to have someone do that and have to pay for it. Does that sound right? Have you heard those explanations?
Yeah. Yeah, I've said them myself. You know.
I said them too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is that all of those are lies that we tell ourselves. And sadly, they're the exact lies that keep us in a state of simmering frustration, you know, sap our energy so that we don't move forward, and really disconnect us from our dreams to the point where we don't want them anymore.
Yeah. Right?
Because we're not getting ahead, we're working hard every day, things are not progressing the way they should, and the only reason that is because we won't let anybody else help us. So if you think it takes too long to explain, when I hear that, my mediator's ear actually hears something else. So when you say it takes too long to explain, what I hear is, I don't want anybody to know that I don't know how I do this. And, you know, this is true for everybody. There are things that you do in your business that you just do on automatic.
Yeah.
You're not thinking through the steps of doing it. You just do it, right? So, of course, you don't want to outsource that because you don't even know what to say.
Exactly.
But how would I explain how to do that, right? So if you're telling yourself that lie, you can stop right now and begin to use a tool called Sweet Process as an online software where you can easily walk yourself through how you do things. You can add videos, you can add pictures, you can add notes. And once you start using that to create your standard operating procedure, two things happen. A, you know how you do things. And B, you have something to give to somebody else so that they can start doing things for you. If you're the kind of person who says, oh gosh, I have to do it or it won't be done right, then my mediator's ear hears, I'm afraid to let go and let anybody else have control of this because there's only one way to do it. And, you know, we know as adults, there's many, many ways of doing everything. Your way is the way that you do it, but it may not be the best way to do it. And I'll tell you, you know, in my outsourcing journey, I've learned that. When I first started outsourcing transcription because I was doing a podcast series, I knew nothing about that. I was clueless. All I knew is that I had some audios and I wanted some transcripts. And, you know, if I had said, you know, it could only be done right if I do it, then I wouldn't have gotten them because I had no idea how to do it. But I was willing to let go, and I had enough interest in the big why, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, that I was willing to let go and let somebody else teach me. And I was lucky enough to find someone on Elance who took me by the little hand and said, okay, honey, here's the deal. This is how you outsource transcription. Here are the three kinds of transcription that you're looking at. Here's what each one does and the cost of each one. Here's why you want to pick A, right?
Yeah.
I got a whole education from this person by outsourcing. Now, did it cost me like $60 to get the transcriptions done? Yes. But the true value of that was learning how to outsource from the person who was doing the work. She gave me, you know, the primer on how to get good transcription work without overpaying. So letting go and letting somebody else help you and give you information is the way to grow yourself and your business and save money. Because, you know, if I'd done that transcription work without having that contact, I'm sure I would have paid for the most expensive kind of transcription, which is verbatim, without really knowing it, right?
Yeah, and, you know, the whole thing about allowing other people with input. I mean, if you're going to be a control freak, I'm sorry, you're setting yourselves up to fail. Because that dictation of your control, you pass on to your clientele. Yes. And your clientele knows there's no flexibility there. And you know, it's like, well, if you can't be flexible with me, you're not hearing what my needs are. Yes. So therefore you can't address my needs. Yes. And, you know, we really have to be open-minded and very flexible. I mean, you could be very true to what you're doing mm-hmm. and your kind of clientele, but if you're not willing to hear what the needs are, how are you going to be able to deliver?
I agree. I think it's a fine balancing act because something happens to some consultants and coaches is that they forget that their clients come to them because they are the leader and the expert. And so they get so flexible that the client doesn't actually get the benefit of their experience and expertise because they're trying to, you know, meet every single one of the client's needs. I actually think it's better to take the approach where you are both experts. You're both experts in different things. As the coach, I'm the expert in how to do the outsourcing, the process. As a client, you're the expert in you and your business and how you want to see it done. And we're supposed to collaborate
yeah.
on creating the best result that you for you.
Collaborate. That is the huge word.
Yeah.
You know, I think what we're beginning to actually understand in society is we are a village. We need to work together.
Mm-hmm.
By collaborating, we everybody benefits. Everybody is fruitful. You know, you need, you know, the carpenter, the baker, the this
yep.
and that. Everybody has their own expertise. But, you know, it's like, you know, you go to a mechanic and they go, well, what's wrong? Well, if I knew that, I'd fix it myself, right?
You yeah, know? I wouldn't be here, buddy.
Exactly. And it's like everybody has an expertise. Everybody has something they're good at. And yeah. it's like, don't try and be all of that yourself because you're just not designed to be so.
Yeah.
You're not meant to be the be-all and the end-all of your own life. And you are so much more fruitful when you invite those other perspectives and that other knowledge in. It helps you grow. And so you have to be flexible, you have to be open-minded, and, you know, I learn every single day that I do these mm-hmm. shows. I'm, you know, the amount of knowledge that I've learned is absolutely...
Isn't it fascinating?
Fabulous, and also extraordinary, you know, of what some people have, you know, overcome, or things that they've done, and things that
yeah.
they're doing. It's very uplifting, it's very enlightening, and it's very encouraging. So when you work with other people, you actually see what possibilities are out there. And it helps you to expand your own business so much faster because you're seeing, by collaborating with someone,
yep.
I can move so many steps further.
Faster. I love that. And, you know, as you were talking, Sarah, something that came to mind, which is you're a lifelong learner and so am I. And it's one of, you know, both of our innate needs to learn new things and to grow. And sometimes I think when entrepreneurs or solopreneurs forget is you can have that need, but you don't have to exercise that through your business,
mm-hmm.
right? So when somebody says, I just like to do everything, I like to learn how to do everything myself, then I say, well, then you must like to learn to be poor because you cannot do everything in your business and make money. If your need is to be a lifelong learner, and I'll honestly say that is so my need, I don't exercise that in my business by doing all the tasks in my business. I exercise that need by creating a podcast like you did, mm-hmm. or creating some educational content that I'm learning. Like every Friday I have on my blog a tool review. You know why it's there? Because I'm geeky. I love tools and I like learning about new tools. Now, I could let that take over my business life and spend all my time doing that, but I recognize I have that need and I put it in a place that's useful. Yeah. So on Fridays, I can geek out and learn how to do this or you learn this new software because that is exciting to me. But I don't let that spill over into the entirety of my business and feel like I have to do everything. Or I like to do it, so it's fine for me to do it because that's not the preferred way to run your business, which sort of leads me to the last point, the last lie we tell ourselves, which is I can't afford to get help. The truth of the matter is that you can't afford not to get help. Everybody gets the same 40 hours, right? Mm-hmm. Or you can make it 80 if you want, but I kind of like 40 hours. Yeah. And less than that is even better. We all get the same amount of time. In my head, I have an internal number. Like, I don't recommend to my clients that they work on an hourly basis, but I have an internal hourly rate that I know that I want to make every hour. So when I decide I'm going to do something myself, like maybe go to Canva and throw down a quick graphic, the calculation that goes on in my head is, okay, that's $250 for that hour. What else could you be doing?
Yeah.
Right? Is making that graphic really how you want to spend that money? Because if I spend the hour making that graphic, I can't spend the hour serving clients to make the $250, right? So it just doesn't work. You need to have other people do some of the grunt work, the repetitive, the time-consuming tasks in your business, like social media.
Yes.
You have to be pretty consistent on social media if you're expecting to get the benefit, but it doesn't have to be you doing that. So you pay somebody $15, $20 an hour to do it, and then, you know, your effective rate, internal hourly rate, stays good. You spend that hour chasing leads or contacting clients and making sure they're happy or prospecting for new ones, things that are going to lead to more revenue.
The other thing is that you know what you're good at.
Yeah.
So do what you're good at because that's what you're good at. That's what, you know, that's what makes your business, you know, different and unique is because you are bringing your passion, your love, you know, your diva to that. And that's what you're good at. What you're weak at, yeah, you may have a knowledge of how to do roughly, but if it, as you said, takes so many hours to do it because it's not your forte or it's not your passion, get somebody else to do it because then you can concentrate on what you're good at.
That's right. And that raises your energy and your, you know, energy vibration and your joy in your business. I run into so many people who do not have joy in their business. I'm like, well, what did you start the doggone thing for?
Yeah.
Right? Did you not start it to serve people and have fun? If you're not having fun, you better change something.
Yes. And you're the old adage there of don't work for your business, have your business work for you.
That's right. Everyone should be reading the E-Myth book by Michael Gerber and understanding that your job as the leader of your business is to work on your business, not in it.
Yes.
That's the distinction from being the visionary to being the technician. Too many of us want to be the technician and are afraid to be the visionary.
Right. Oh, you know, at some point, you know, you are both. I mean, you know, I am both. You know, I'm technician to a point, but it's technician to share the vision.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know there's some things I need to definitely get outsourced, you know, because...
we'll get you hooked up.
Right, because it's definitely slowing me down. And it's not trying to be perfect out the gate, isn't it? I mean, this is 2 years now, this month, our anniversary for this station. Even though even though we changed name from PLV Radio now to Self Discovery Radio, you know, we're just evolving and recreating, but it's 2 years since my own station. I was with another network beforehand, so it's now I'm in my fourth year of radio. If I look back on my first shows, you know, it was a Monty Python skit. You know, everything that could go wrong went wrong. But I learned from it. Even the way we did the postings, the way we, you know, showed the shows. You know, it's like you do, okay, yeah. That's not working, so you change it. So don't be afraid to make the changes that are needed, because if you want the flow of your business to keep growing, you've got to keep evolving and going with where that flow wants to be and not be rigid and, well, like, you know, I've done this and it should work. No, it's not working, you know.
No.
Be willing to change, because that's the only way you're going to grow.
I don't know if you had a chance to read Dory Clark's book. Of course, now the title of which escapes me. I think it's like Stand Out. But her premise is basically that, which is you start doing something, and just because it doesn't work the first time or the 50th time is not a reason to stop doing it. Most people are about 10% tweak away from being where they want to be. And I took that message so to heart as I was building Dina's Rolodex, because there hasn't ever been an outsourcing training and resource center for solopreneurs ever. So I'm making it up as I go along. And that means that sometimes I'm going to get it right. Sometimes there's going to have to be some changes. People will tell me what they like about it and what they don't. And I'm open to hearing that feedback. You really have to be okay with getting that kind of feedback and giving it.
It's not criticism. All it is a constructed view of what people need. And what do you want? You want to be able to give them what they need.
Well, you know, I think of it as data. And so this harkens back to my conflict days. And, you know, I think of your business as your home. So in your mind, picture your beautiful home, right? That's your business. One, don't let anybody in your business that you don't adore. You don't let strangers you don't like go across your threshold at home, do you? No.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So same thing for your business. Don't do things that are going to make you unhappy. Don't invite people in that don't work for you. It's your house. And when you get criticism, I take that as data. And you know what I do with that data? Sometimes I just leave it at the front door because it's not useful at all. But sometimes I take it and I put it in the attic until I can think about it later.
Yeah.
Right? It's not negative or positive. It's just data, and what you do with it is negative or positive.
Yeah, exactly. I did an interview a little earlier of a gentleman who does quantum energy, and he's been doing this in a healing, and he's been doing this for 40 years, and he's saying like he's frustrated for the fact that people aren't more open to this now. And I said, you know, as a spiritual counselor, you know, and a person that promotes, you know, the Deaverism, you know, dreams, inspiration, visions, and aspirations, and you know, and also about taking ownership of your own life and being abundant from within. You know, it's all we can do is be honest and true to our purpose, and you know, live in it, be it, speak it, reflect it, and put it out there. And you know, as long as we're doing the proper social medias to make sure that we're being heard and you know people can find us, you just keep putting yourself out there, and you know, eventually that domino effect will happen. It's this whole measure of your business is only as you know as relevant by the dollar, or you know, it's you've got to be true to your own content. You've got to be true to your own purpose for your doing your business.
Yep.
And yes, you want to make money because you want to continue. But it's also don't measure yourself by somebody else, right?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, when I was doing a lot of mediation, there is no win or lose in that when you're the mediator, right? So I actually had to develop a new success standard. And so I encourage my clients to think about having a second success standard. Sure, you want to make money and you should have income goals that you're trying to hit every month and every year, but you should also have a different success measure. And so my success measure is, did someone learn more about themselves after being with me than they knew before? Now, when I work with folks and they can say that, they've discovered some new thing about themselves, maybe they have more confidence outsourcing than they thought they had, or they have great ideas and now they have the ability to exercise and implement those ideas, then I consider that a win.
Exactly. You have to measure what is, you know, the worth, what is the value. And yes, we all want to get rich. Because we like to have an easier lives, and you know, go ahead and do so. It's what you do with your money that counts. It's not the amount of money that you make, or it's the ethics on how you make your money too. That's also very much in there. But you know, look upon the worth of what you're doing as where your abundance lies. And as you know, with these shows, if one person's life has been affected for the better,
yeah,
you know, one person has learned something that's going to embed their lives, one person has learned something about themselves that's empowered them to take that step forward, that is enrichment as far as I'm concerned.
I so agree. I love that quote about, to the world, you may be one person, but to one person, you might be the world.
Oh, I like that.
That is so true, right?
Yes.
To somebody, you are the world. And, you know, you'd think that nobody's looking at you. I know people, we always think, oh, who pays attention to me? But in a very real way in my corporate life, one day I learned people do watch what you're doing. I was coming into the building and I was a senior vice president and I didn't have my ID on me. And I was like, oh, dang, I'm not going to be able to get into the building now because I don't have my ID. I walked out without it. And security guard walked up to me and said my name and said, we know who you are. And, you know, there you go. And I thought, well, how do you know me? I don't see you every day when I'm going in and out. But just the case that people do see you. They notice what you do. They see what you represent. And for somebody, you are the hope and the promise of what they want.
As easy as you can be a detriment, you know, that you find so many people in business that live again by that expectation and develop a facade of what they think people want, and then they think you know, when they're out there being themselves or doing something they shouldn't be doing, you know, people see you, you know, we can't escape anywhere now. You are so much better just to be who you are unapologetically and be yourself across the board. Yeah, you have a business hat on, right? And you go into a business mode. But if you're not coming from that space of truth within you, then all you're doing is you know, reiterating a lie. You will be caught in that lie somewhere along the line.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is so true. That is so true. You know, I got interested in all this outsourcing stuff kind of in a tragic way, I guess you could say, because my husband, you know, one day sneezed and changed our lives. He had a very, 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 very bad back. And often he would be up at night walking around trying to relieve his back and relieve his pain. And he got to the point where I was up too, because he was up too, and walking around. One night he decided, okay, I'm just, you know, she's exhausted. I'm going to let her sleep. And instead of sneezing out and making the big sound, he held the sneeze in. And that actually is the equivalent of, like, being hit by a car at 70 miles an hour, I lived to learn. Mm-hmm. He blew two discs in his back.
Wow.
And, you know, when you're watching TV and you see the surgeon say, you know, we have to operate in 90 minutes or the person's going to be paralyzed, the doctor actually said that to me. So here I am, 3 o'clock in the morning, groggy, upset, alarmed, having the doctor say, well, you know, if we don't do emergency back surgery in 90 minutes, your partner's going to be paralyzed, because we weren't even married yet then. And that really, you know, shocked me. Thankfully, he had the surgery, came out of surgery great, but that was a 2-year recovery that we were looking at.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had started a business, and at the time this happened, it was a $1 million business. So I learned in a very real way what happens when you don't have people to help you in your business. You haven't set down any standard operating procedures that anybody could pick up and follow, because now he's in a rehab hospital. I'm running my business and trying to run his. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about it. And I have no notes. And I can't really ask him because he's recovering. So it became clear to me that every self-employed person who owns a business needs to have standard operating procedures, how you do things, and you need to outsource. You need to be able to reach out and put together a virtual team that's going to help you. 6 months into my husband's recovery, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And so my whole world changed again. So in addition to caring for him, I had to change the way I did my business. I couldn't have like a lot of emotion. You know, I had to give up being angry. I had to actually meditate on keeping a calm state, because that's what keeps me healthy. And so when I got through these experiences, you better believe the first thing I thought about was, how can I rebuild my business so that if I'm ever ill, it runs without me? How can I create income streams so that if I don't want to work, or, you know, God forbid, I can't work, I still have money coming in? And that's what led to, you know, both doing the consulting around info products, but more so around the outsourcing. I want to make sure other people are not going to be in the same situation. Will you be stuck? Will your business end if you have to be out of it for a month? I mean, that's a terrible thing.
Yeah, and you're so right, because, you know, I know I've been in that position, and, you know, my my friend business partner will actually say, you know, build a business to make yourself obsolete.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I've had to, you know, cases where I've either been, because I have a physicality as well that is a challenge. So some days are good and some days are bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm running the radio station. I'm not outsourcing as yet, other than his help, which, of course, now he's got to go on a different path. And it's a necessity now. And we do need to also make sure that we have that ability to just step away from our business, mm-hmm. and regroup and repair, or just renew ourselves and then come back at it fresh. Otherwise, as you said, we're working for our business instead of our business working for us. And
exactly.
we never know. We never know when something's going to happen. I mean, with me, with my physicality, it's been something that's been coming on for a long time, and unfortunately mm-hmm. just gets worse with age, because it's one of those things. And you just work around it. But there are some times where it says, I'm sorry, I'm in control. And you can't do anything about it. You have to give in to it. So you have to make sure that you can, you know, have somebody else step in and take over some things.
Right. And I just want to echo that point about both you and I have adjusted our businesses to accommodate a lifestyle.
Exactly.
Often people think that they can't do that. Like, if I run a business, I have to be open at 8 and I have to close at 5. Or I have to work on weekends, or I have to take meetings. No, you don't. I structured my business so that when I was feeling poorly and I knew that it wasn't clear I was always going to get a good night's sleep the night before, mm-hmm. I just didn't take calls or business meetings before 10 o'clock. And, you know, no one said, oh my God, we can't use you.
Right.
No one said that. They said, okay, that's how you work. All right, that's fine. That's how I'll work too. Let's schedule after 10 o'clock. All right. You are in control of your business. You decide. You are the boss of you. That's the reason you have the business. So set the rules and boundaries that work for you. The clients who really appreciate you, and I call these your best clients, the ones that appreciate you, value the work that you do, and work the way you want to, are your best clients. And those are the ones you're trying to attract, not folks who are going to take you outside of your game or outside your house and make you live in ways that are not going to be helpful for you.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I always do a pre-interview, as you know. And mm-hmm. if I get publicists sending, oh, they don't do pre-interviews, well, I'm saying, they don't get interviewed. You know, that's the way it is. I don't do cold calls. I don't know who you are. I don't know what the signature is. I don't know if your message is authentic to the station. So, you know, I need to know that first. So it's all very, very important. The other thing is, to me, too, 9 o'clock I'm at my computer, I do my emails and everything else, and no shows start before 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't do anything beyond 3 for as far as interviews are concerned. That's even pushing it. 4:30, 5 o'clock, I walk away from the computer. I'll come back and check emails and things later. But that's my downtime, because I know the evenings, my whole thing is low.
Yep. And now, anybody out here is going, I couldn't possibly do that. Let me ask you about your favorite department store. Right?
Yeah.
They set their own rules, right? They tell you when you can shop. They tell you when you can't shop. They tell you how much you're going to pay for things and how you're going to get it delivered. Same deal with your business.
Exactly.
You can have that control.
Exactly. Very, very important that we do so. And, you know, the thing is if you, it isn't about the quantity of time. It's about the quality of your work.
Mm.
Right? You know, you don't have to be working, you know, 80 hours a week. It's like, be more productive.
Yep.
You know, and you could be working 20 hours a week to get the same results as 80. Making it work for you.
That's exactly right. You need to leverage your time so that the time that you personally spend is the most expensive time that you have. So you want to leverage that time and use it very wisely. The other time that you have, which is not your personal time, but the time in the day, those are hours that you can devote to having somebody else do some of your stuff. You know, all the regular, I have to do it every day or I have to do it every week tasks, those are things that you shouldn't be doing anymore. And I've actually just gotten to the point now where I think about something and I think, well, you know what, that's not for me to do. I'll find somebody. You know, all the stuff on my site, all the design stuff, I don't do that anymore because even though it's fun, it takes me too long, which means it costs too much money for me to do it. And you know what? Although I have great design sense, I don't have the ability to implement my design, so I don't know how to make it look as good as I know it should. That's somebody else's thing.
Exactly. That's the reason why I've got this great partner who does all of that for
right.
me.
Right. So why should I struggle with that?
Exactly. And, you know, let's talk a bit about kind of what kind of outsourcing you do for people. Obviously, the social media, I think, is number one, you know, that people need, especially like in a business like I have. You know, it's getting the word out. And social media can take so much time.
Let's talk about that then, because that is one of the things that people come to me a lot for. You need to have, obviously, if you have a social media strategy, you have a social media plan. I hope you do. If you don't, you can actually have someone create that plan for you on a site like clarity.fm. There are freelancers there who will talk to you about your site, your products, and help you figure out your social media strategy. So you should be looking for somebody to help you do that. Once you have your strategy in place, then you want some helpers to implement that strategy, right? And so that means you are going to be looking for maybe a virtual assistant who's going to post to all your outlets on the frequency that you want. You're going to provide them with that content, maybe in Dropbox or Box or some other way, so that you're dropping in the content. They have a standard operating procedure on what platforms you're on, how frequently you want to post, and what kind of information you're going to post there. And then you turn that over. And maybe you're checking in with that person once a week to have a quick Skype call to say, how'd last week go? Or here's what's coming up for the next 2 weeks. I have these promotions. I want you to hit them hard, right? So that you're spending, you know, people spend about 100% of the time worrying about what they didn't get done. I propose that you do an 80-20 rule, the Pareto rule, and to spend 20% of your time managing somebody else so that the rest of the 80% you can spend on developing your business or being creative, which is what we really want to be doing.
Yeah. Let's look at kind of price ranges. I mean, because there's so many people out there doing this media thing, and some of it seems to be really expensive, some of it kind of too cheap. What are the tips and things that you should be looking for, and what kind of, you know, price range should people be looking at to pay?
Sure. So you have opportunities to do this at every price point, which is what I tell my clients and folks who are interested. If you think outsourcing is too expensive for you, you just haven't investigated it, because Fiverr is an online micro job site where you spend $5 for services. Now, you're usually going to pay a multiple, so it's going to be $5 to start, and then maybe $15, $20, $25, $30. The last time I did a project plan, and that's one of the services I offer, I can actually curate the providers for a project you're doing. So last time I did it for someone who was doing a project plan plus, which meant I gathered all their providers, I did all the advanced work, and then handed it off to them so they could just start outsourcing. The person was paying around $40, I think $50 a month to have someone post to their LinkedIn and their Facebook page. They actually did something a little bit unique. They had a podcast, so they also wanted that person to move their podcast notes over and set them up. And literally all that put together was maybe about $60 a month. And while we could have done that on Fiverr, because there are plenty of providers on Fiverr who will do that for you, you're looking for a top-rated seller who has over 100 reviews and really gives you detailed gig instructions on how they need, what information they need to do your gig on Fiverr. You can certainly do it there. I actually prefer, if it's going to be an ongoing commitment or relationship where you're going to be posting for me for a long time, to do it on Elance. Elance is another micro job site, just like Fiverr, just a little bit different in its gestalt and approach. So if you're thinking fast and need it fast, you're thinking Fiverr. If you're thinking I need it done and I need somewhat of a thinking partner, you're thinking Elance. And so I would say go to Elance, find a VA who specializes in social media marketing. There are plenty out there. You want to contact them first to explain what you want done. Ask them, can you do it? And, you know, how long would it be? And, you know, what's the cost going to be? The reason I like Elance is because they use a workroom setting. So you can contract with somebody, join the workroom, and then you authorize hours per month. So that means you can have a good handle on how much time they're spending, the costs don't get a runaway, and you can give them a lot of direction inside the workroom about how to do your task. And it's just easier to manage it that way.
So there's, I mean, obviously that's a huge thing in any business. I don't care what business you are today, you have to do some social media because that's the advertising today, right? So, you know, if you're, you know, an old school, you know, I always say to people, you must have a site. Facebook is all very well. They change too often. You know, the information is constantly going down to the bottom. You always need to have a site that speaks to what and, you know, who you are. If I'm looking at anybody, I go to their site. I want to know the information. So make sure it's current, make sure it's friendly, make sure it's usable, which is really important as well. So what other things do you do as far as outsourcing?
Well, you know, I just love outsourcing. Here's the thing. I'm a big Fiverr fan. I'm kind of an expert of those.
Yes, you have a book on that, which we'll get to in a moment.
I do. I love helping people get started on Fiverr because I'm now coming to the idea that I think just about any self-employed person should have at least a couple, like 3 to 5 Fiverr gigs going. It just is such a nice income boost. It's very quick to do. So one of the things I've been doing a lot lately is helping people become Fiverr providers and identifying what in your bag of tricks, your expertise, will work on Fiverr, because you want to pick a certain kind of gig to offer, and then walking through how to offer that gig, how to write the gig instructions, which for me as a buyer tells me how professional and serious the seller is. So you really want to get that part right. And then figuring out how to increase your per transaction cost. So initially when you start out on Fiverr, you get $5 for whatever you're doing. But there's a way to stack the gig so that each transaction can be $25. In my particular case on Fiverr, I've stacked my gig so that if a person wants what I have to offer, they're most likely going to spend $25, which is not a ton of money.
Right.
But, you know, when you get 4 people who buy your bundle every day, that's $100. Yeah, for every day of the month, you know, that adds up, right?
Yes. And you know, there's an awful lot of people that work from home now, you know, mums and things like that. Yep. You know, that, you know, the virtual assistants, you know, not just on the social media, but, you know, on you know, weekly letters or monthly letters or just organizing everything. There's that sharing that you can do on the computer for all your appointments. And, you know, I mean, there's so many things that we can do where we can hand it off to the people that are doing it far better than we can. And as you said, free up your time to do what you really need to do.
And then the stuff that you love to do. Mm-hmm. You know, before we jump off, I wanted to just give people a couple of tips about the delegation, because I know that's so hard for people. And so really, you should think about delegation, your delegation style as an evolving process. You're going to be one kind of delegator when you start this process. You're going to be a much more skillful one at the end of the process. And it really just takes a little bit of self-reflection. And, you know, Aristotle said that knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom. And I honestly think that's true. Mm-hmm. When I work with people who come to me who are outsourced in Fiverr or Elance, and they've had a poor experience, when I start probing them about what the experience was like, inevitably it was around miscommunication. And the buyer wasn't clear about their own expectations, their preferences, and their work style. So I just want to dive into that teeny-weeny bit, if that's okay.
Yes, please.
Cool. So really when you're looking at delegating, you have to know some things about yourself. And those are what I call the foundational questions. These help you think about your strengths, your weaknesses, and how you like to do work. And once you have that idea in mind, it becomes much easier to find the right provider. And when I say right provider, I don't mean someone who thinks exactly like you, because that's kind of what we think. Like, I want someone who's like me. You actually want a provider who's going to complement your strengths. So they won't be exactly like you. And you don't need to fall in love with them, although you do need to like them.
Yes.
But you want to make sure that they're able to do the things that you can't do. And that's something I think people don't quite understand. There's lots of times I hear people saying, I liked her so much, so I hired her, which is great. Glad you liked her. But can she work and complement your work style? So here's some things you want to ask yourself that are foundational questions. You want to know, do you tend to think out loud about your ideas or only share them when they're fully formed? That's somebody who's going to be your VA needs to know, right? And a good example of that is I tend to think out loud. And so what accidentally happens is that I'm thinking out loud with the VA and they start taking down those things as items to do. Then next thing you know, we are way over budget.
Yeah.
So you really want to know, is my style that I like to talk out loud or do I wait till it's fully formed and then make adjustments based on that information? How do you like to get your data and what's the level of detail? This is a question we do not think about at all.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, I'm an audio person, but, yep. But you know, when I'm articulating something, I like to have a visual. So as I say, I'm a visual person in the way that I understand something, but I articulate my vision, you know, through audio. And, you know, as you said, that clarity when you're speaking to someone is very, very important. And, you know, that if you are needing to actually have some data in front of you or information in front of you so that you can see it or you can articulate it, it's finding somebody that actually can get what you're saying,
yeah,
in whatever way you're saying it. It's, yeah, not a question if they think like you, but they've got to understand what you need so, yeah, they can deliver it.
That is exactly right. And so you can't get that until you understand what, yeah, it is that you need and how you like to work. And it's just not a question that we ask ourselves very often or somebody else asks us. So something for you to consider when you're delegating is, how do I like to get my data and what's the level of detail? Mm-hmm. The other thing you want to think about is, what's the best way for me when there's a mistake or an issue, right? Because, you know, there, inevitably, there's going to be a problem. There almost always is. Are you the kind of person who likes the assistant or helper to come with the problem and a solution? Or you just want them to alert you there's a problem, you figure out the solution, right? You need to think about that. How are you about giving feedback? Are you good at it? Or you're not so good at it. When you're giving the feedback, you can't just say, oh gosh, I didn't like that. That is not helpful in the least. Yeah. You need to be able to articulate what it is that you didn't like, but more importantly, what you'd like to see instead. Right? If you know that's not your strong suit, then you have to figure out a way when you're outsourcing to get around that problem.
Sometimes you don't know what you need.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you can just, you know, get out to an outsourcer and say, look, this is what is happening. This is what I'm trying to do, but I don't know what I need, you know, as a solution. Mm-hmm. And it might take a couple of people before you find somebody that comes with an answer. Well, this is what you need, and this will help, you know, get where you're wanting to go. Because sometimes we don't know what we need, right?
Sometimes. I would say most times.
Yeah.
You're being kind of generous, girl. Most times we don't know what we need, and that's the frustrating part when we go to ask somebody else to do it for us, because we know we don't know, but you can actually ask that. What I recommend to clients for every job you're going to do, reach, no matter what platform you're on, reach out to the provider first, mm-hmm, and say, here's what I'm trying to do. Here's the piece of it I'd like you to do. Can you do that? Are there suggestions that you have for me about how to do that?
Right.
I ask every time. Now, you don't want to make a nuisance out of yourself, because this is how the person makes their money. So if they spend all their time answering your questions, they don't make any money. So you don't want to be a pest, but you do want to ask, because that response gives you the information that you need to better position your request. It also gives you information about that provider. How responsive are they? Did it take 5 hours or 2 days for them to get back,
right,
to you? Was it a snarky answer?
Yeah.
Or were they really helpful?
Yeah, right? And from there you'll know. And it's like, you know, don't get put off because the first person isn't right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like with everything in life, you know, just, you know, keep sampling and you'll find the right,
yep,
taste, you know. And when you find that person that definitely, you know, hears you,
yep,
it would be, well, this is what I'm hearing and this is what I suggest. And it goes, yes, yes, that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Singing the hallelujah chorus.
Exactly.
Like, yes. And there's such a deep sense of relief that comes with that. It's like, whew, they heard me. I trust them to do it. Now I can put this thing in their hands and go on to something else.
Yes. And, you know, here's a thing of advice. Please do hear what you're listening to. Mm. You know, people are inclined to hear a word here and there. not the whole content. And then when it comes back on the delivery, they're delivering something different to what you thought you heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, I would actually suggest record it. Listen back to it. Is it truly, you know, have you both got that message across before you make that decision? Because we're inclined to latch onto a word and run off with that, and then we don't hear the rest of the content.
I think that's exactly right. This year, I started experimenting with my logo clients. So if someone comes to me and they want me to do a project plan for their logo, normally they would explain to me what they want, and then I'd explain it to the provider. This year, I experiment with having me interview the client and record it, and then I just send that recording to the provider. Then, you know, they hear it straight from the horse's mouth.
Exactly.
There's no reinterpreting my accidentally reinterpreting what they want. They hear directly. So, you know, you might even decide that you're going to record your order request and then offer up that recording it when you're looking out for outsourcers, so they understand exactly and they hear the tone of voice and they get some information about you.
And the thing is also when they come back to you, you'll know whether they've heard you or not.
Yeah.
All right? You know, it's not like interruptions. They've got it. They've heard the audio. They come back with a solution that resonates or you know, some ideas.
Yep.
And you know that they've heard you. And so I think, you know, I like obviously recording shows and things, but I do think it's a great idea when you're, because in that way, as you say, no misinterpretation.
Yeah. I'll just give one caveat about that. Because, you know, the lawyer and me heard that and went, oh, my God, so you better say this. So I will say that if you're recording people, you have to be careful where you are, what state and what the recording rules are, because you can't record somebody without their knowledge.
Right, so be upfront.
Yeah.
Just say, look, I'm recording this so that we both have the same information at the end of the call. And I'll send it to you if you want it. You know, and I think be upfront.
Yeah, I think that definitely covers it. I will say that the guy that I'm working with to do a lot of changes on my website has an excellent process for that. You know, I write to him what I want. He writes back what he thinks it is. And then he says, can we do a 5-minute Skype call? And then we talk about it. And that always works.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think that don't be lazy. Just do kind of, as you said, the emails. You do need the voice interaction.
Yeah. You want it.
Yeah. You know, you need all of that data in your head, you know, the written word, the audio, maybe even the visual. And it helps you get a more rounded picture of what, you know, who and what you're dealing with.
And I think you can't be afraid to ask if you have a question. So if you think things are not going up to snuff, it's okay to say, here's what I noticed and it made me wonder blank.
Yeah.
How are we?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, if you do have a deadline, make sure that person knows up ahead of time and that can they deliver on it. Don't go to them afterwards and say, but how come, where is it? I need it now. But you didn't articulate that in the thing. You know, before you even take somebody on, this is my deadline. Can you even meet it before we even get anywhere? Before
That's exactly right. That's the initial conversation before you're even ordering.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to do. Can you do it? What's the timeline?
Yeah.
And how much is it going to cost?
Exactly. Have your information up front and then you can get into it.
Yeah.
So please talk about the book, Fiverr, the Essential Buying Guide.
I'd love to talk about the book. So here's the funny story about how the book came to be about, in the world. So I'm at a conference and I've been using Fiverr since 2010. It's been really great for me in my business. It's helped me do all kinds of things I never thought I'd be able to do. So I'm a big fan. I'm at this conference and I see these two women before me and I'm eavesdropping. I'm going to just say it. I was eavesdropping. And so I listen to one woman and she goes, oh, you know, I'm so far behind on my social media stuff. I just can't keep up. It's sporadic. I can only really work on one platform at a time. I wish I had some help. I think I'm going to try out Fiverr. Well, the other woman's head exploded. And basically she was like, "I, you can't do Fiverr. It's a scam. You'll be tricked. You'll lose your money." And you don't know me all that well, but I'm kind of a, you know, Budinsky.
me too.
So
we hear the information for a reason.
That's right. I tap one woman on the shoulder and it's like, well, have you used Fiverr? And of course, the woman who had been complaining so vehemently about how it was a scam never even used it. She was just repeating a rumor that she heard from somebody else.
Yeah.
That totally pissed me off. And I thought, you know what? How many other people are in the first woman position. They need the help. They know they can get the help, but somebody else interferes and tells them, don't do it. And you know, as women, that's how we work, right?
Yes.
If someone says, don't do that, you just don't do it. We're always looking for personal recommendations. So I thought, this is where I can help. I'm going to write the book. And so Fiverr, the Essential Buying Guide, is the missing manual for using Fiverr. I go through why you can trust the platform in the first part of the book, so you can really feel comfortable about, okay, here's why it's okay. Yes, it had $50 million in venture funding. They're not going to fold tomorrow. And get really comfortable. Then we work on the hands-on practical stuff. How do you select the right provider? How do you search without spending hours and hours looking at every profile? How do you write your gig order so that you actually get what you're expecting? All those things are inside the book, including templates, because I love templates. I love to have someone show me how to do something. We have a little bit of case study, so you can see a real entrepreneur who's been using the platform. And then I give you actual, for I think it's authors and speakers, or authors and consultants, I actually give you a list of projects that you should be outsourcing. So the book is really, really useful. Right now it's on Fiverr as one of my gigs, so that's a great place to get it. If you go to http://fiverr.com/Dina Eisenberg, all one word, you'll find all my Fiverr gigs, including the book, and how to become a Fiverr provider, and picking one provider for you.
Okay, so we've got that, but also let everybody know how they can actually find you on your site and everything else that you do as well.
Oh, I would love to. So, Sarah, I was so excited about this call that I went ahead and created a special page just for you.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
It was. I mean, I love talking about this topic, and you're the first person to ask me to talk about the delegation piece, which I think is so important. So I wanted to do something special for you and your listeners and to celebrate, you know, Self-Discovery Radio.
Thank you.
So if people go to outsourceeasier.com/Sarah Troy, you will find a little video from me talking to you about delegation and a downloadable worksheet that walks you through the questions that we talked about on the call and some additional ones. So you really know by the time you finish that worksheet what your delegation style is, what your work style is. We go through some of the expectations because, you know, we have some beliefs about being in business that can be an obstacle. So I want just you to be clear about what your expectations are. So the worksheet asks you about those too. And once you finish it, you're really ready to start delegating. So if you go to outsourceeasier.com/Sarah Troy, you will find that download waiting for you.
Excellent. Of course, your show will be there. But, you know, this is a wonderful. Thank you. Nobody's ever done anything like this. This is fabulous. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And you know, this is, you know, what it's about, right? It's about sharing the information. And you've got valuable information here for people. Not just, you know, on the story of you overcoming, and but through that, you understood what was needed, what we all need. And, of course, now you've provided that need and that guidance, which is what we all do need. There are more entrepreneurs out there, solopreneurs, or small companies than ever before in the history of man, and most of those are women. And, you know, we're very good at delegating at PAC meetings, but we're not very good at delegating when it comes to running our own business. And so we need to know that we need to do that because we are not meant to be the be-all and the end-all of our own business. And
stop doing everything yourself.
Yeah.
That is my... I'm going to get T-shirt made that says, stop doing everything yourself. If you can delegate at home to your kids or to the organizations that you're running and being a part of, you can delegate in your business. There's not much difference between the two. Just recognizing that you have the power and the ability and the right to say how you would like to see things done. People are not going to think badly of you. You're not going to hurt the provider's feelings. You're going to get the work you want at the price that you want. But first, you have to learn how to do it.
Exactly. And it's, we want everybody to succeed. Everybody has something that they're doing that is a contribution to society. And, you know, we want to celebrate people's, you know, passions and desires and gifts. And, you know, I hate to see people starting something and then it failing because they haven't reached out to receive that help. And, you know, that's been one of my lessons. I've had to learn how to receive. And, I wasn't a good receiver.
And, I'm not either.
You know, the rug got pulled underneath me and I, you know, literally down at the bottom, and, you know, I had to receive those hands as helping me back up, and never been as a judgment, but being, you have to understand, this is a gift that other people are giving you to help you get back on your feet. So, you know, if you have to reach out to other people, yes, it's their job, but you need other people around you that want to help. Let them in. Let them in. Because you're not going to get where you need to go unless you do.
I love that you said that, and I think about it exactly the same way. I think that when I let somebody else help me, I'm actually giving them a gift. Because when somebody asks for my help, how do you feel? You feel overjoyed, you feel flattered, you feel empowered. Why would I want to prevent somebody else from having those feelings?
Exactly, exactly. It is a gift of gratitude when you allow somebody else to help. And that's what, you know, that's what we want to encourage in the world, is everybody working collaboratively together to help one another to reach the heights that we're all meant to reach, because the world will be much better off for it. Right?
I so agree. So I'll just say out loud that if anybody would love some help with getting an outsourcing project done, whether it's starting your podcast, whether it's doing your social media, whether it's doing some video marketing, which I'm going to talk about over the summer, I invite you and I would encourage you to seek me out. I'd love to sit down with you for a walk-you-through call, and we'll just map out what your next steps are going to be.
Excellent. Wonderful. And, you know, this has been wonderful. This hour.
Yes, it has. We have gone
so lovely and easy. So don't forget, it's outsourcingeasier.com/Sarah Troy.
Oh, I'm just going to say it again, Sarah. It's outsourceeasier.com/Sarah Troy. Go there and download your absolutely free guide to delegating.
Excellent. Fantastic. And, you know, your book is there, so people can get your book. Of course, they can book you to get the help they need. And, you know, that's a great investment, because you want to succeed at your business, but part of the investment in your business is the investment on who you need to delegate to, and how you can empower yourself by, you know, delegating out to others so they can empower you. So it's, don't be afraid to ask. It's what we need. And you can get hold of Dina, and she's certainly got the background to help you get what you need.
Thanks, Joe. It's so kind for you to say that. I really appreciate it.
Well, this has been a delight. I definitely want to have you back on again, and we will certainly do that again. And
yes, we can get into more trouble.
Oh, yes, we can. I love it. And, you know, folks, we want you to succeed. But, you know, understand, you're not meant to do it alone. We're not meant to go through life alone. We are a village. We need to embrace everybody in that village and everything that everybody does. And, you know, by giving value to somebody else and their expertise, we're learning to actually value ourselves as well. That's what it's all about. So thank you so much for being on the show with us here, Dina.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Sending you and all your listeners wishes for joy and success.
Wonderful. And don't be afraid to go out on your own, folks. With the right information, you can succeed. Until next time, it starts off by being kind to yourself.